Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben. This is John Paul.
Yep.
We're excited to be with you today as we talk about more great student ministry content and conversation. The topic today that we'll get to in just a minute comes from a request from one of you listeners that we're so thankful for, as always. If you would like us to talk about something specific that you have in your mind, hit us up on Twitter at Ben Trueblood, at John Paul Basham, or leave that in the rating and review section of iTunes. Get in touch with us. Tell us what you would like for us to talk about, and we will get it on the air in an episode. So that's what we're doing today. The topic is how to begin well in student ministry. So this is one that can apply to if it's your first church, or if you have transitioned and you're in a church that is new to you, but you're several years down the road in ministry experience. So we're going to talk about how to start, how to begin well in a new student ministry. But before we do that, recent happenings in student ministry, a little segment we call This Week in Student Ministry, something that happened in the recent past with John Paul and I that's a direct relation to a student ministry principal. John Paul, fire away.
So this week in student ministry, my story for you is going to be about a Wednesday night that I got to preach for a student service. It was actually a couple of weeks ago from the airing of this podcast. But the topic of the message was what Christians should believe, and it's who is Jesus. And so the task was to tell students everything that they need to know about Jesus, which was a sizable task.
It's tough to squeeze that in 30 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, definitely blew right by the 30-minute mark. That's my bad. My bad, Eric. Blew by that mark. But and hey, I mean, you can't say everything. We could never say everything that someone needs to know about Jesus because we don't even know it all. But my goal was to paint a huge picture of who Christ is as much as I could, you know, through Old Testament and New Testament and Scripture. And so I have two things to encourage you with. One, keep preaching Jesus. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep talking about who he is. It does not get old. It does not get boring. We saw 14 kids get saved.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That night. Just painting a big old picture of who Jesus is. Because what happened, what I believe happened, is when you paint a big picture of who Jesus is, you also get as a byproduct of that a much more accurate picture of who we are in light of who he is. And that leads us to repentance. It does me every time. So the other thing that I would tell you is I was sick as a dog that night. I mean, had several moments where I thought, I'm calling Eric and I'm going to tell him, man, I'm really sorry, but I'm out. I can't do it. and that happens.
Like day of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens fairly often for preachers. You know, you have those days and you get sick and you're not sure if you're going to go up there. I firmly believe that spiritual warfare. And so here's what I would say to you, those of you who are preaching and teaching in all of your student ministry environments, have a little grit about you. Mm. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling sick, listen, you've been called to preach and there's a very real element of spiritual warfare. So you just need to have a little grit sometimes. Listen, I've made a message shorter than I intended before, sent the students into a time of prayer, ran out the back door, threw up in the bathroom, and came back to wrap up the message. Ben was there for that one.
So good.
But sometimes you just need to tough it out.
Yeah.
And look what happened. I mean, I honestly thought the message wasn't connecting at all. But 14 students heard the truth of Jesus and were saved for the first time. And that's a big deal. So just grit it out. Sometimes you just got to grit it out, but be faithful to your call.
Yeah. And the Lord just said, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
In spite of whatever. Like, this is something I'm just going to do. Yep. So stand in awe. And I think what's awesome about that, too, and man, it's like we shouldn't forget this, but I think many times it, like, we try to get so creative and so cute and try to do so much extra stuff. And you just stood up and said, hey, everybody, here's who Jesus is. And that's it. And walked through it.
Yep, that's all it takes.
Yep.
So, not patting myself on the back. I don't want you to take it that way. I'm not out here saying, you know, oh, whatever.
If you're looking for somebody to speak at.
Right. Yeah, that's not the case. It really is just an encouragement. Preach the gospel and do it regardless of how you feel about it. Just get it done. That's your call.
Absolutely. Good word there. Thanks for sharing that, John Paul. And it's a good word for all of us to remember. So let's jump into the topic. We'll move straight from there for the sake of really smooth transitions. We'll just go straight from that to the topic, how to begin well in student ministry. And if we want to slide a transition into that, I think one of the things that we can remember about beginning well in student ministry is to start with that foundation of the gospel and to start with preaching Jesus to your students, letting parents, letting leaders, letting your leadership, meaning the people that you report to, hey, this is the kind of thing that we're going to be doing in this student ministry. We're going to be making a big deal about who Jesus is. We're going to preach Jesus unapologetically. Students are going to be in their Bibles. I think that's we're going to talk a little bit in detail about what to change right away, if you should change a bunch of things right away. But that on its own is something that we can say, start off on that foot. You may be going into a ministry that has done that in the past. Great. Keep that train moving. If it's a ministry that hasn't done that in the past, then don't bash what's been done in the past. Just start preaching God's word now and start pointing students to Jesus and move forward from there.
There are many good words in that last little piece that you just gave right there. Not bashing the student pastor that came before and everything that happened before. That's a big deal. That was kind of like a passing statement that you made, but that is a big deal.
Yeah, and it is, we can pull that and separate it out from the preaching and spiritual focus of the ministry and say it's never a good idea to bash what was there before, because there are going to be students in the ministry. Listen, even if you walk into a horrible situation, there are going to be students in that ministry that had relationships with the people before, and you're not going to win any favor by bashing even stuff that was clearly not good.
Well, and the truth is, anybody could come look at your ministry probably and bash it somehow.
Yeah.
So none of us, I mean, Jesus, okay, is going to be the only one that had a ministry that we can't bash. And outside of that, we're all dropping the ball somewhere.
Yeah.
And we are... Somebody is not our biggest fan everywhere we go. There's somebody who's going to say, I wish they would do it this way or that way. So the last person you need to be is the lead basher.
Yeah. Man, that's so true. I can look back at ministries that I've led in the past and bash myself in certain ways. Just having separation. And like if you've served in other churches and you go to a new church and you honestly look back and evaluate with some separation from your old church, there are going to be some things that you say, man, I could have done a lot more there, or I wish I'd have done this differently. Or, I mean, there are always going to be those statements. I know I can look back and say, man, I wish I would have put more time into this at several points along the way. So not bashing, I mean, everybody can throw stones. That doesn't take any type of giftedness at all to throw stones at previous leadership. And so as you go to a new place, don't bash what's previously done. You know, it's also a good time to evaluate what you've done in the past, how you've led at other churches. If it's a situation where you're transitioning to a new place, man, learn from what's happened in the past for yourself, not just the ministry that you're going into. But if there are things that you would evaluate and say, man, I really feel like I could have done a better job at X, then do that in your new spot.
So before we launch into the first thing that we had slated here to talk about, I would also like to flip this to the positive. Walking into a brand new environment, you not only want to not bash what's happened before, but I think it would be very wise of you to find the victories that have happened before you.
Yeah.
And celebrate those with the people. Because for a lot of the people, for a lot of the students and the parents that have relationships with that student pastor, they are grieving probably still, that person leaving, and the great history, whether it is actually a great history or if you would look at it and say, this is so weak, they see the wins that have happened in that student ministry. So if you can pull some of those out and say, look, God has done some great things, and I'm thankful for the last person that was here. I'm thankful for what they did. And here's a few things that I want to continue to carry forward. That's something that's going to resonate with those people and probably win you some brownie points. And you know, stepping into a new place, you're going to need some of them.
Yep. And you may have to search really hard to find a positive thing, but still find one. It's worth the energy and effort. So as you begin well in student ministry, don't bash the previous and look for something that you can speak positively about the former leadership. Remember, if the person before you is leaving well, then more than likely they had a goodbye moment for that person and they celebrated some of those things. So you coming in right after that and saying, this guy was garbage and we're not doing anything good in this student ministry, that doesn't really make sense to them. There are going to be relationships in the room that thought that person was their hero. So don't bash the previous. Find positive to say. Start off on the right foot in your preaching and teaching. Make sure that you know, that your people know, this is what our student ministry is going to be about. And then spend some time getting to know the culture. Two things here, the culture of your church and the culture of the community. Those are two things that will take some time for you, unless you grew up in the area and you already know the church well. Maybe you, this is your first church and you grew up there and you went away for college or seminary and they've hired you to come back and you know the culture of the area, you know the culture of the church. But for the majority of the people entering into a new place, you don't know those two things. It's impossible to get an exact pulse on the culture of the church and community from an interview process or from a couple visits to a church. So before you really begin to make wholesale changes to what's going on, you need to get to know the culture. So John Paul, as far as the church culture, what are some things that you would do to get to know the culture, to kind of diagnose the culture of the church?
I think getting to know that church culture has a lot to do with getting to know the vision of the senior pastor. So, and I think part of this is contextual too, because your senior pastor might be brand new as well. So if this is a situation where your senior pastor's brand new and he's bringing on a team and this is a fresh start, then that may not be your first place to go. But often the senior pastor has been there. Some of the staff has been there for a little while. And a great place to begin is just sitting down with them to say, hey, what's your vision? How has this resonated with the people? You know, and kind of how are you moving forward with that?
Yeah. You know, I think another aspect of that, and we have this as a second thing to do to begin well in student ministry, but they go so closely together, and it's get to know the people. Key leaders, the parents of the ministry, the students, all of those, just church members that may not have any connection to student ministry at all. Spend some time with, if your church has elders or personnel committee or deacons or whatever, spend some time with those groups of people and just ask questions about the church. Ask questions about where the church has come from. Ask questions about what the major victories of the church have been throughout the years. You need to spend some time with some key leaders from multiple generations within the church, if multiple generations are present. So spend some time with some senior adults. Spend some time with the parents of student ministries age group. Spend some time with some of those young married, young family type people, and just pick their brain about what they love about the church, about what they love about the community. And you'll be able to get a pulse pretty quickly once you spend time with the people about what the culture of the church is. Now, what John Paul said about the pastor and knowing his vision is extremely important, because there may be some things in the culture of the church that once you hear from your pastor, you know from the inside perspective that your pastor's hoping to change some of those cultural things that exist in the church already because of his mission and strategy. And so you'll be able to then know the current culture of the church, know where your pastor wants to go, and be able to serve him through your role in student ministry to help the church move that direction. So the other piece of the culture is not only getting to know the culture of the church, but getting to know the culture of the community itself. So obviously there are going to be some church people in the community, but this one lends more to the non-churched piece of the community. Because if you're going to reach the community, you need to know who they are. You need to know what they value. You need to know where they go, what their habits are. So how do you get to know the culture of the community?
And I think part of that's just digging into what that community is and learning. That I had, for me, very much of a kind of a culture shock going from the community that I'd grown up and known in Alabama, moving to a totally different culture, totally different community that you and I moved to in Hampton, Virginia. Totally different way of life, very much a different speed of life, completely different interaction interpersonally between people.
Yeah.
Like the difference of when you walk in, everybody just says hi to when you walk into a place in Virginia. Sorry, Virginians, but y'all don't say hi to anybody. It's like when the first few times that I just walked in, it was like, hey, what's going on? It's like people looked at me and said, why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just very different. So digging in and getting to know those kind of intricacies, but also just what people like to do and what things are out there. How do people spend their time? I think all of those are important pieces. And those are a couple of things on a giant list of getting to know a culture. But the bottom line is getting to know the differences between one place and the next.
Yeah.
That you may be moving to, you know, and how that is going to affect interpersonal relationships, engagement with people, because all of that's going to play into the way that you communicate to those people and the way that you lead those people.
Yeah. And your community, like one thing that was unique, and some of you that are listening to this, you have this in your own community as well. One of the things that was unique to that area of Virginia where we served together was the amount of military families in that area. And if you're serving at a church where there's a large military presence, it just adds a different dynamic to what's happening in the community and what's happening in the church. And that's something you need to know about. It's something that you need to spend some time becoming familiar with. Some real easy ways to do this, man, watch the local news for a little bit, get to know what's going on. A lot of communities will have those like local festival little newspapers that are at gas stations on the rack or whatever. Get one of those and find out what the local festivals are. If there's a crab fest or something in your area, go to one of the local festivals. And
nothing like a good crab fest.
That's yes, exactly. So go to one of those, just meet people. Again, the culture has so much to do with people that there's no way that you're going to correctly diagnose the culture without spending time with people. And so in the church, that's easy for you because there are going to be people that want to spend time with you. You're the brand new person at the church. They're going to be people, you know, they want to bring you meals for a couple weeks. They want to ask you stuff. The parents of students, they want to get to know who this new person is that's going to be ministering to my kids. To get to know the community, that's on you. You're going to have to get out of the church walls and go meet people and get to know the community.
I think part of this, too, is just making friends.
Yeah.
Which isn't the easiest thing. It never has been for me, anyway. Moving into a new place and just saying, hey, I'm just going to go make friends. Some of you guys are the social magnets, and so that comes easy for you. But especially for me, leading my wife to areas where I know that she's going to be able to make connections. And then if you have kids, putting your kids in places where they're going to be able to make connections and make friends. Part of it is just making friends with people in the community and getting to know them, people that are from the area,
yeah,
you know, and have done life there for a long time. If you don't get to know some people intimately, not that you're just going to launch in and be besties with somebody, but if you don't begin that process of getting to know them, then you're not going to be able to know that area very well.
Yeah. So there we have, get to know the culture of the church and the culture of the community. Also, we kind of pulled out getting to know the people. So if we can jump back into the church world for just a moment, getting to know the people obviously helps you know the culture, but get to know the people here for a different reason. This would be so that you can find out, okay, who are the people that are going to be jumping in alongside you in student ministry that can help you accomplish the mission and strategy that you're building right now? Who are the key leaders of the student ministry? Who have they been in the past? Who are some of those people that are going to be the key leaders that have just kind of been hovering right below the surface? They've been involved for a little while, but have a ton of potential. They just need somebody to come up and say, hey, run with me in this thing. Get to know the parents. Find out who the parents are that are going to be really, really involved. Find out who the parents are that are going to be really involved from a positive standpoint and really involved from a helicoptering standpoint, so that you know how to deal with those situations and know how to build relationships there and how to coach along the way. And then getting to know the students. When you first enter into a student ministry new place, the students are probably going to be excited for the most part. Again, if there was somebody that left right before you that was really, really loved, that did a great job, and they're a legend, there might be some challenges there. There might be some rough things that you have to deal with, but that's okay. Spend time getting to know those students, pour into them. There may be, on the other side of things, a group of students that are just, man, you hate to say this, but I'm just going to say that just aren't involved. They're there, but they're not going to be plugged in. They don't like you. They don't like what you're going to do. They've already decided that in their minds. And as you've spent one Sunday there, you've realized, man, this group of students just is not going to be on board with me. How do you manage that?
And that's such a hard place to be in, because you want to connect with them.
Yeah.
And I think something that you can't do is just give up on those
right.
kids. You just can't say, even though it may be very clear, and some students make it very clear. There's some students that will just tell you, I will never like you.
Yeah.
And that's when you say, okay, well, I'm going to continue to love you.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just going to keep doing this thing, and we'll see where we end up. When you need me, call me. I'm here. But you can't just write them off. At the same time, you can't let that dynamic discourage you from ministering to the rest of the students either.
Yeah.
I remember first coming to Liberty, the juniors and seniors pretty much had done that. They pretty much wrote us off and just said, hey, we're just not going to follow you. And we battled to build relationships with them, did everything that we could do, were as crazy as we could be from stage, were as welcoming as we could be from our homes, but they just did not connect. The good news is all the rest of the kids did.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things that you've just kind of got to push through. And I know we hear from student pastors that get discouraged in that fairly often. I'm at a new place and I'm just not connecting. It's not an easy thing to walk through.
Yeah. See, you'd think that going in, like, that would be the easiest piece of it is, oh, I'm a student pastor. I know how to be around students. I know how to build relationships. That's going to be the easiest thing. Oftentimes, it's not. Oftentimes, it's the thing that frustrates you the most right out of the gate, just like you were saying. And so I think the advice to not write off that group of students that's just not going to go with you is so, so, so important, because it's easy to say, man, I'm just going to run with the ones that want to run, and I'm going to forget about these other ones. And I would amend that just a little bit to say, I'm going to run with the ones that want to run, and I'm still going to love on these others, and hope and pray that they become the runners as well. I think you have to balance that there. You need to spend the majority of your time pouring into the ones that do want to follow and want to go along with you, but you can't neglect the other side.
Well, and here's a way to frame that up. The Lord loves us in spite of all the times that we run away from Him,
yeah.
turn our back on Him, and pretty much spit in His face. And so we are the people that we are, the people of God, the children of God, not because we went running to Him,
yeah.
proclaiming that we needed Him, but because He chased after us and said, you'll be mine.
Yeah.
So in that same way, those students that don't want to connect with you, you're still called to chase after them. And the hope would be that even if they never connect with you in student ministry, that one day they would turn around and say, you know what, they really did chase me down.
Yeah.
When they get to a place of a little more maturity, that grieving process over whoever just left is over, that they can look back and not say, that jerk just wrote me off on day three.
Yeah.
But they would go back. You know, you want to shoot for that phone call about 3 years down the road where they say, man, thanks for pursuing me.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, that seems like a good place to wrap up the podcast today on getting to know your people. So far, if you haven't guessed yet, this is going to be a two-parter. So far in how to begin well in student ministry, we've talked about not bashing the previous leadership, finding things to celebrate because we're all standing on someone else's shoulders and someone else's work and influence in the past. Set out from the very start that the theme and goal of your ministry is going to be to point students to Jesus and preach his word faithfully. And then two key components, getting to know the culture of both the church and the community, and getting to know the people, key leaders, parents, students, who you can trust and who you can cast vision to and bring along with you. All of those are key parts of beginning well in student ministry, whether this is your first church or you've just transitioned to somewhere else. So next time on the podcast, we're going to begin where we left off here and how to begin well in student ministry and jumping from getting to know your people into developing your own unique mission and strategy for that church. As usual, if you haven't taken the time to do so, please head over to iTunes and leave a positive rating and review. It'll only take you a few seconds to do that, and we sure would appreciate it when you leave those ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the same great student ministry content that you enjoy, hopefully, from the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Look us up on Twitter at Ben Trueblood, at John Paul Basham, and carry the conversation outside of the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. We'll see you soon.
See ya.